This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine off of 114.
One guy here.
And I need you guys to show up for a variety of reasons. First of all, they said we probably won't draw at this location.
What?
Second of all, Mike is just done. I don't know, but he's already ready to just let.
Done? Or like the energy level?
The energy level's high. So I think Corey wants to leave. Perhaps you can fill in as a co-host for the rest of the show.
There's part of me, Kevin, last night that didn't feel too well. And I was like, oh, man.
What part?
Maybe it could be a heart attack and I don't have to work tomorrow.
Your heart?
Is that sad that I was hoping for a heart attack?
I've heard from
most people that hurts. It doesn't feel good.
Okay, so maybe that's so true. I felt yeah.
The lack of beats really bugs people.
Yeah, my dad's been through that a couple times. It's all right, Dad. Love you. You're still here. So
he's had how many heart attacks?
Three.
Does he have a stint?
He has multiple stents, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then like the scar tissue built around it and clogged them up.
Well, if you're looking for cheap Miller Lite, it's $4 here, 22-ounce drafts. How about them Cowboys? There's a poster behind you.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Now, let's start with some NFL overreaction or reality, and I will begin with the Cowboys. Overreaction or reality, if the Cowboys win on Sunday, they will make the playoffs. Right now, there is only a 20% chance they make the playoffs.
I would say overreaction. I think they're going to win this game, but they are not going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Cool. I do not have them winning this game.
Probably not making the playoffs.
And I don't have them really – at this point, I don't have them making the playoffs anymore. I've kind of – looked at it and said, I don't know what can turn it around because they need so many things to happen, and it's more than just Micah coming back. So I just can't see the path for it to happen right now, especially with the way that Washington's playing.
Okay.
They have magic in their midst right now.
Now, that actually goes perfectly to my next question. The Commanders, overreaction or reality, aren't just good, they are also lucky.
Both, yeah.
Because you need a little bit of luck along the way.
You do need a little bit of luck. Every team has something swing their way in a really good season. Or in a championship season, even.
I don't like the word luck. I get that things break your way.
Sure. If a ball bounces to you, like if you're up in the air and it bounces off a guy's helmet, that's lucky.
I was taught, whether this is true or not, I believe it. The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Luck is when hard work meets preparation. I know it's a lot of people.
But is that because you put it in and the sports gods said, you know what, they worked hard, or is it because you were in the right place?
So I would say this. So are you saying that it was just pure luck they got the touchdown to win the game?
Not pure luck. I think there's a lot of luck to do with it. I think the Bears...
It goes against the percentages of that being happening.
Yeah, there's a 1% chance, like I said, a 1% to 5% chance, and 5 might be too high of a chance, that was going to be a completed Hail Mary pass.
So I think that's my contention, is that Washington is both good, but also lucky, because the Bears really shot themselves in the foot a couple of times down the stretch.
I hear you. I guess I would lean more towards they're more good than lucky.
I want you to take the start on this next question then. At this moment, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC East.
Yes.
Mm. he took it from me. I can't answer.
Okay.
He said answer first.
Because at this moment, listen.
I did.
I didn't hear it, but I've seen multiple stories on this so far. Diggs and Micah evidently left Dak off their top five quarterbacks right now. And that's because if you're talking about it, there is an idea that if you're talking about that, that they were specifically saying who's playing at an elite level right now, and you have to be realistic that Dak is not. Multiple reasons for why he's not, but he is not playing at an elite level. Jaden Daniels is right now.
Better than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I agree. Right now, he's better than Jalen Hurts.
I'm going to be interested to
see. That could change the season, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see where that is in even 2 weeks.
I do think in a weird way we're in a Robert Griffin III rookie year. Now, he quickly got hurt at the end of his rookie year, and his career went to bad, I will say, to use a term I can use on the air.
To bad. Not to S.
Yes. I think we're in that situation again. If Jaden Daniels, who does play a risky game, if he doesn't get hurt, then I think over the next 5 years, he's easily the best quarterback in this division. Now, maybe the Giants get lucky in the draft, but I look at Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels, and I think over the next 3 to 5 years, to Corey's point, I'm just adding on here, is that he is going to be the best quarterback. You are dealing with now, I think, with the Dallas Cowboys, you have had the best quarterback the last 3 to 5 years. Jalen Hurts had a great year.
Yeah.
But now it's over. Now you have to deal with you don't have the best quarterback in this division.
I know we have a lot of other options to get to. I just wanted to know, when you say he plays a risky game, I feel like he plays a very – I feel like he's really good at knowing what he is capable of. I don't think he takes too many risks. Okay. Cliff Kingsbury gives him the ball, like the freedom to do a lot.
Yeah.
And I do feel like he runs, but he gets out of bounds when he runs. Just from what I've seen, the risks, I think, are more calculated, are far more
better
calculated.
Than Griffin. The
yeah.
Third.
Yeah.
Right. I would agree with that for sure. NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Kelce is still a top three tight end in football. Now, before the start of last week, he sat about sixth in, you know, kind of the statistical categories. He had 10 catches for 90 yards. And if you look at what he's done the last 3 weeks, he really has turned it on over the last several games.
When it comes to the ability, I think he still has it. I don't think that's been lost by any means. When it comes to other tight ends, though, having made their way to the top of this list, you could probably look. Kelce's the number one tight end. I'm sorry. Kittle's the number one tight end in fantasy points. Brock Bowers is the number two tight end in fantasy points. Trey McBride is the number three tight end.
Brock Bowers having a crazy
Kyle
season.
Pitts, Otten. There are a lot of other ones. Listen, Mark Andrews is fantastic, but I do think whenever it's crunch time, there's no receiver that Patrick Mahomes is looking for more than Travis Kelce.
I have my answer, and I'm going to say top three, yes, still, because I'm going to assume this without being a defensive coordinator or a defensive player in the NFL. I bet when you play the Chiefs versus most other teams that have a good tight end, he is the first you think about as a defensive coordinator or a guy you have to slow down or you're in big trouble. There are other really good ones, but because he's probably number one on the scouting report when you're playing the Chiefs, besides the greatness of the quarterback, I will say that makes you top three because I think other tight ends struggle to get that high on a scouting report.
And when it comes to the chessboard, he sees it that way. You know, he knows, he's seen so much with his experience that he knows what everybody's supposed to be doing and what he's supposed to be doing.
I have one more for you guys for this morning, and I'm curious to see which direction you go. NFL overreaction or reality, a team not named the 49ers will win the NFC West. Now, all four of those teams have four losses right now. I realize the Rams have played one fewer game, but they all have four losses. So, overreaction or reality, a team besides the 49ers is winning this division.
Reality.
Oh.
I have the Lions won in this.
What?
I'm sorry. Did I miss speaking?
Yes.
You bassicked
their division?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, Man.
Yeah,
really,
sorry.
I was really basicked this.
Yeah. You know what? I'm quitting. I might as well go home.
You don't get to quit.
Yeah. But yeah.
You
if I don't get to quit, you don't
I'll
get
tell
to
you
quit.
What, if there's any time where you dislike doing something, you say, I'd rather have a heart attack over it, you need to take a day off.
That's a good point.
I will lean towards San Francisco is going to win the division. So I would say unreality.
Okay. Do you think it's unreality that the Lions could win the division in the NFC West?
Super unreality.
Okay.
They could get the one seed. I hear you on that, Corey.
But not
I know where
West.
You're going. See, we're connected.
We are.
Same
yeah.
cycle.
We're back
right?
on it. We're back on
you.
It. You know what? I don't want that heart attack now.
Kevin, sometimes you're off our cycles, but Corey and
Thank
I are
Thank God
cycling.
For that. Because earlier we were watching the cross country and y'all were like, is this taking place on somebody's farm?
I
like,
think it
where
is.
Are they doing this?
It does look like a farm.
They did have a cutoff. I was like, oh, that's because of the documentary on Charlie Brown where he was leading a race and ran the wrong way. Remember that one? Charlie's leading the race against the Peanuts.
Was that in the canoe when they went to the camping thing?
No, no, no.
They
I think
were,
he was a really like. I think then he ran the wrong way and
he
lost.
Brought the Christmas tree back and it was a small
and that's
tree.
Based and they're like, we can't have a Charlie Brown situation. That's why I never wanted to win a race, especially a long distance one,
uh-huh.
because then if I'm not sure where I'm going, I have to let somebody pass me to go like, where are we going?
Hey, look.
And then I lose the race because of it.
Hey, look, I got a new pitch. Come out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. Sure, you get to see us. There's great food, great deals on Miller Lite. You can enter to win Cowboys tickets. But I really need you to be here for me. Help me out today. Come talk to me during the breaks. Help talk me down. Keep me in this situation. Coming up next, let's go Mavs, Rockets, plus where did all the basketball fans go? We'll do it next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine on 105.3 The Fan.
Green trying to get by Marshall on the baseline. Step back, 25-footer left side. Got it! Huge three-pointer! Shaylen Green with 72 seconds remaining.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. It is also a shout-out Friday if you want to get your shout-outs in. But we're going to talk with Jerry Jones in 15 minutes or so. Want to talk about the...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mavs, Rockets right now because...
We're up to four people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It is,
I don't know if we have to give
I am
an update the entire time, but that's fantastic.
That's good. Four people at 10:18?
That's true. They haven't even normally opened, but they are open and ready to go. All right. So as soon as you heard this highlight, Mike, you go, oh, yeah, I bet he's going to make it. This was a game where it felt like the Mavericks sleptwalked through most of the way, and then in the last quarter or last three quarters of a quarter, it really felt like they were going to figure out a way to win this.
Here's what's disappointing. I get it. Third game in four nights. I know it's early in the year. Luka is honestly the most inefficient player in the NBA in 2024.
Yeah,
right now.
He is.
It is like...
He doesn't have his touch at all.
No, and I know he's going to get it. He's playing the worst basketball you could possibly watch Luka play.
From a shooting perspective.
From a shooting perspective, thank you. But what frustrated me is like, okay, it's 82-59. You guys are tired. It's the third game in four nights. There's been travel. It's not like you've played three home games. I get it. It was home, then up to Minnesota and back. You're a little bit fatigued, trying to figure things out. But then what disappointed me, in a way, was how hard they played the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They had it in them to win that game. If they would have just came out with that energy from the start, you play a close game, you end up winning the game. But instead, they're like, hey, what if we get down by 23 points and then we try our best?
I will give Houston credit, though. Like, they played the game that we talked to. We were talking off air about.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we were talking off air about the kind of game they play, and they were playing fast. And then, because I was talking about a little betting.
Yeah.
They were playing fast, and defensively, they were giving the Mavericks some fits. And it was a tough game. And a game where they, like, every single foul was a, hey, hold on, let's, like, every, both sides. They were just like, no, go review that. But it was tough with Houston, and they're going to make the top 10
this year. Yeah. Like, what I mean by that is they're going to be in probably the play-in situation. I think they'll be a 7-10 seed. My son said this in the car, picking him up from his Halloween shindigs, is they are Oklahoma City, just not as good. And
okay.
I thought, okay, because he's like, Jalen Green is like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but not as good. Sengun is like their Chet, but not as good. And then he's talking about their role players. And
Jabari Smith, like Williams, but not as good.
It's not a bad comparison, and I don't think they'll be as good as Oklahoma City a year or two from now. But when you look at their young talent, you could say, hey, this is a team that we could see 2 years from now that you're like, man, they are a playoff team because they do have a lot of good, young, talented players, but probably Jalen Green will not reach the heights that Shai has reached.
But if we could just add on to that, think about this. Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, yep. Reed Shepherd. Like, if two of those guys hit pretty well, if all of them are very usable pieces, or if one of them becomes a superstar, holy cow, look out.
Yeah, yes. That's where I'm at with
I'm not
them,
saying I want that to happen.
I do think that this is the I think Houston's going to make the play-in tournament. I think after this year, they are going to be a consistent playoff team. And so it's not a bad loss. I'm saying the same thing again. Why did you guys not give two craps until 15 minutes left in the game?
Yeah.
If you guys cared about winning it, which you did, why at 7:35 did you guys just go, hey, what if we just jog up and down the court all game? Well, you're going to get your butt. This wasn't the Utah Jazz. They actually played about the same against the Utah Jazz. They were just playing such a worse team that they were able to kind of keep a 4-10 point lead throughout that game. That's not the Utah Jazz. And maybe they looked at it that way. It's human nature. You're a little bit tired, a little bit fatigued. And guess what? The Houston Rockets haven't made the playoffs in a long time. And so they probably looked at them as a Utah Jazz-like team.
I'm not saying it has to be this way and you have to have like an unquestioned leader. But if you had to guess another year or two, is this going to be the Jalen Green team? Is it going to be the Sengun team?
I think Jalen Green.
Okay.
I think Sengun. Well, last night, Udoka's their coach, right?
Yeah, yes.
He was yelling at Sengun as the Mavericks are making a comeback, which Houston is young and struggling to hold this huge lead. They end up holding. It never really gets super close to them losing the lead. It got to 3 for a second. But I looked at that and I go, he believes Green, the head coach, believes Green is more of the leader than Sengun because he calls a timeout, furious, and the next 5 points in the basketball game are scored by Green. He gets an and one and another basket, I believe, if I have it right. And so to me, that timeout of like, we're about to lose this game and I'm going to yell at Sengun, but now during the timeout, I'm going to make sure Green is the guy that takes over this game again.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there real quick. It has been a tough start to the NBA season ratings-wise.
Oh, no.
I was pretty astonished to see how far these numbers had dropped. So you go back to the opening doubleheader, average 1.6 million viewers. That's down 42% from the year before. Now, I realize the year before also had the Wemby debut, but still, that is a humongous drop. Bucks 76ers, 1.71 million viewers. That's down from 2.55 million the year before. Suns Clippers down 49%. And even Spurs Mavericks, that was down 29%. And that's the smallest decrease. And then your Friday night game, Pacers and Knicks last week, 830,000 viewers. That was less than the college football game on ESPN2.
All right. Wow. Now, and how far back are you saying all these go to?
Last because year.
Compare
last
year over year. All right. Just year over year.
You agree? I think you'll agree with me on this. We got something going on Tuesday.
And politics makes an impact on this. That's every year,
I think, whenever you count three and then you go, so let's forget about this one. And I wonder how it's compared to other election years, because this one definitely is, you know, taking a lot of interest from a lot of people. Did the season start earlier this year? It feels like 31st.
But
was
over the last 3 years, it has.
It's been bumping up a little earlier?
No,
okay.
It's now been the same for 3 or 4 years, but it used to be back in Dirk's day, let's say, just to push it back a little bit. Opening night was usually Halloween night or the night before Halloween. It was usually right around October 29th through November 3rd would be your opening day. Now it is more mid-October.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine off of 114. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Kevin, Corey, Mike, good morning.
I think the thing that's pressing on a lot of people's mind, and I know we've asked you this before, I know they haven't practiced thus far, should we probably not hold out hope for Bland and Micah at least this Sunday?
Well, I think the fact they're not practicing is always an indication that you've got a question. in both cases, they're still evaluate their rehab work that they're doing. But the fact that they're not on the practice field, this is walkthrough today. And so you'll rely more on the rehab work and how they're doing there. But you still need to leave it open because we're a long way from Sunday, but we're getting closer.
Jerry, how tough is it?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
How tough is it in today's game? We know that there's limited amount of practices because of the agreement you guys have made 20 years ago, and maybe that's too long ago, but how much easier was it for maybe a Bill Parcells or somebody to do something different because you had more practice time with the players to allow them to get to know it through repetition, where it feels like in today's game, maybe you don't get enough repetition to change things drastically during a season?
Well, I think your point is one to think about. You don't have as much injury as you would have been having had you had more physical practices. You just don't have the injuries. How much of that compensates some of the execution when you come out of training camp? You haven't had a lot of the work. You've got less injuries, but you haven't had a lot of the work you used to get. I'm going to back up. There was a time when they were playing 6 preseason games. There was a time when they thought, well, in the first couple of games of the year, you'll play yourself into better football. And so those early games were also not as perfection as you might think they could be in pro football. We're now playing into that because we don't have that preparation as much. We play into that. You have more mistakes. You have more mistakes the younger the players are. So we've got a combination of a little less preparation. You've got a combination of more mistakes. But you're dealing with more games, and on balance, I agree with all of this. I think it produces the kind of teams and the kind of game and what the NFL's trying to do. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But from a coaching perspective now, it'll bite you, but just as injuries bite you. And any coach will say, boy, I want to we're going to be physical. Do that in practice, but you can get bitten. I'll never forget Al Davis. And to me, he's my poster child of this tension that goes between having a lot of reps in training camp or having a lot of reps, physical practices. And boy, when he would come up out to Austin when we were there at St. Ed's, he'd stop practices. could step in and stop practices and say, we're not going to leave it here in August. We're going to save it for February as far as the health of a player. So all of it has its points. I like where we are.
Jerry, CD and Dak have both acknowledged that they kind of feel like they've found their rhythm. Do you feel like that's the most important part of your offense, and from there it's kind of like trickle-down economics for everybody?
Well, think about that. They had a lot of rhythm going. They spent a lot of time in the offseason, a lot of time throwing the ball back and forth to each other. So they had a lot of rhythm. It didn't concern me as much that Lamb was not in camp, because I'm well aware that when you get in camp and you've got a chance of tweaking something there in camp, and seen it happen a million times. And on balance, I was satisfied with that. But frankly, I think they've been on the same page.
Okay. I am glad that you mentioned Al Davis, because I've been kind of curious about this. You give the team the facility, you give the contracts, the flights, the coaches. You provide everything there is to have an opportunity to play and win. What more can you personally do during the season? And this is more like your job. Like what is that that you can do during the season to help the team win?
Well, I think you're continually looking as you get into the season. You anticipate injury. You don't know where it's going to happen, but you anticipate it. And so it's ever – everybody does it a little differently. I like depth. I like the prospect of depth. You're probably seeing that with the way we're handling this roster. We're being judicious about how we basically load up at the top of the roster financially. And I'm smiling when I say that, with having the highest paid quarterback in the whole NFL and having Lamb just signed his contract. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the other areas you're seeing, we're being judicious, because there we want more players. We probably want younger players. And it's going to be a balance. That's what it's going to be. That's the system that we're in. But we're seeing right now, if you don't anticipate injury, and or frankly, you can anticipate to some degree just tapering off of talent. If you don't do that and have some young guys ready to step in and have a system in place that the younger guys can affect and put in place. Younger guys don't play with the same complicated system that your older players do. So you got to see all that coming before you get there.
I'm not saying it necessarily has to be a tapering off of talent for these two, but do you feel like Terrence Steele and Zach Martin perhaps have had a rougher go this season than you anticipated?
Well, I don't. I think we're having a rougher go than I anticipated. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
So let's don't couple that with just those two.
Yeah.
But having me in the loop needs to be there. It is rougher, and I did not anticipate the challenges that we're having with this team. But I am reminded of teams that I've seen that have had a lot of success and put themselves in a position to take a shot, and they were 3-4. When I look at the whys that were here, I really have a tough time getting past just sheer youth, sheer inexperience in the offensive line, and I have a tough time getting past that turnover, those turnover ratios. And I'm telling you, when you look at that and knowing what turnovers will do for you, we've had through seven games, the Cowboys, have turned the ball over 13 times.
Yep.
The entire year last year, we didn't turn it over but 16 times. 13 times we've turned it over. 16 times. It's really a plus that we've won three games, because we had that big turnover experience up at Pittsburgh and got out of there with a win, which is rare when you turn the ball over that much. So right there alone, you take that, you take some of the things we're doing or not doing relative to in the offensive line. You just brought up two of them. you can just about stop right there. And I notice we haven't said a thing about the defensive side of the ball. And we all know that we've got room to improve on the defensive side of the ball.
What is it? I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm legitimately asking. What is it that makes
Just go ahead and say it.
All right. What is it that makes you encouraged that these things can improve? Like when we talk about the defensive side of the ball, not turning the ball over so much, the offensive line. What gives you optimism that those things can improve this season?
Okay, first of all, I have seen the players that are out on the field do what I'm talking about doing that would address turnovers or do address having your communication in your offensive line, improving your running game, improving your protection. I have seen Dak make the kind of plays that would cause us to have a different turnover ratio, for instance. So your question is right on, but I have seen these guys do it. I know that Mike McCarthy, I know the caliber of coach he is. He's one of the highest rated, highest percentage winning, losing coaches that's been in the NFL. And he's won a Super Bowl. So you, when you've seen it done in football, then you know they can do it. Then that gives you reason to say what I say, and that is that we can get better.
Just about as passionate of a person as there is out there in the world, Michael Irvin, who obviously loves to talk about the Cowboys as well, and he said that he believes the Cowboys need to make a trade. When Dak said this is similar to 2018, that was the year that you guys traded for Amari Cooper. But I take it, is there any chance, I don't want to make any assumptions, is there any chance that something along those lines could happen in the next 4 days?
Listen, first of all, let me talk about Michael. It's no secret, but for those who haven't heard me say it, Mike's probably one of the favorite people I've had in my life, much less as a player. And so when Michael talks, I listen. For instance, it was about 6 or 7 years ago that Michael passionately, publicly said, Jerry, pay Zeke. Pay him. He's the heart and soul. He's what the team is built around. Pay Zeke. Pay him what he's asking. Get him in here. So I'm smiling when I say that. but the point is, at a given time, we've all had that go. I've had it, and I've done it. And some of them work and some of them don't work as well. Obviously, just to make a trade, but I know Michael would like for us to upgrade with that trade, not just make a trade to be traded. And so having said that, if I see something, not just see it, boy, let me tell you something. We have been, but we've been doing this hard for a long time. But, boy, we look for all meat on bone out here that can improve our team.
Well, when we look at this matchup at noon against the Falcons, I know you are a huge fan of Bijan Robinson going into the draft. He is drafted very high before the Cowboys would have had an opportunity to take him. Is he the person on the Falcons that concerns you the most?
I think they've he's got a lot of ability. But he's also played teams that did a good job of on defense that mitigated some of the plus that we think about it. Again, the running back can only do so much. And certainly there are running backs that are better than others. But and he is one of the tops and was recognized as that coming out. So absolutely, he'll be a handful, and wish we had him. And that's, by the way, I just violated a tampering rule right there.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Go ahead, go ahead and dump that, Alec.
I could pay for that one.
Jerry, I thought the apology between Trayvon Diggs and the reporter Mike Leslie was funny, and I thought it was light. And it was two people compromising, creating a pretty good bit too. Did you think it was? Did you think it was funny? Did you think it was important?
Do you know that? First of all, I didn't see it.
Okay.
And I had to ask. I didn't, frankly. I look back on it, and after having been told about it, it was funny, and that's real good stuff. We all know that we're proud to have Diggs, and we all know that everybody deals with their own issues. What none of us knew when that was going on was that he had a tear in his calf and was going to maybe limit him. That'd be enough right there to if a player could look around the corner like that or was looking around the corner like that, that'd be enough right there to get you in a foul mood. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him at all in any way. But those guys have their own relationships with these guys. I've had them over the year. I love them, my relationships with media. And you look around there and you'll find, and I don't know, I guess I'm also compensating here too, but some of my real relationships and friends, I've been spending 35 years around media, and I've, in every way I can, been a good friend to them, both professionally but on an individual basis. And there was obviously a little individual stuff going on there between Diggs and that reporter.
Okay, and is that the thing that's been keeping Diggs out of practice this week a little bit, then, the tear that you talked about?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
All right. I was watching, Kevin and I have been watching this show, and Mike has too, called The Comeback, and it's about Boston coming back and defeating the Yankees in 2004. And that team seemed like, in that clubhouse, they had so much fun. There was a lot of tension, a lot of big business too, because it's two powerful franchises. There was a lot of tension, and then the team just said, we're just going to have fun. What was the last time, Jerry, or the time that you can remember that is the most fun that you've had owning this team?
Well, it's fun. It's not fun when you don't win. It is not fun. There's no way to make it fun. That's part of sport. That mirror is not fun, looking into it. And lose, usually, because of mistakes. And you very seldom do you get beat just because somebody just totally outplayed you or outmotivated you. You've usually technically made some issues out there. And it's particularly depressing because I don't know that you can have a game that a player doesn't have mistakes. Now, when you look at all of that, I have often said football, to me, has, in a way, been the best days of my life. Mm. But the fun, the euphoria of it, is only about 5%. And it was that way as a player. I was miserable in college the whole time. And I look back on it, and I should have been just laughing and turning cartwheels every day.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I wasn't where I wanted to be as a ball player. And I had a coach come out one time, and he had chewed me one end down the other right in front of the whole team. And he came out, and he asked about Steven. Steven wasn't but about a year old. And he said, Jerry, how's Steven? And I said, Coach, don't even go there. I said, the way you talk to me and the way you talk to me in front of my teammates, I said, man, I just can't believe it. Well, what do you mean asking about Stephen? And he said, Jerry, he said, son, he said, I'm trying to help you be a ball player. He said, I know you're miserable, and I know you want to get better, and that's my way. I love Stephen. I love you. I'm trying to help you.
Last thing I got for you, any idea of maybe how long Diggs could be out with the calf issue?
No, first of all, I'm not so sure he's out. But the point is that he did have – that's why he wasn't at practice the other day, and he came in with that early in the week. But I want to really say this. I'm not backtracking on that, but I just want to tell you, there's a lot of things that are going through people's minds,
yeah,
just as there's a lot of things that were going on that reporters' minds. I get it. I get it. Everybody knows everybody's trying to do a job here. But there's a lot of things that can be on your mind that make up emotion. And, boy, you can beat yourself up over this stuff. And I know you guys have been there in your own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely have. All right, Jerry, before we let you go, the election and the trade deadline are on the same day. Is there a trade that you can make that will steal all the headlines from the election?
Oh, yes. Hey, and I say that recognizing that puts what's important to me in the right perspective.
It does.
We all know how critical this election is. But in my world, it means more if we can work on something out here at practice that could beat Atlanta. And, you know, I'm going to get popped for that. But the election's a big day for all of us and important day. But I want things will happen in both areas that day. I hope we do a little something good to the Cowboys, get some good advance the ball a little bit, and I hope we advance the ball for the country.
Excellent stuff. Appreciate it as always. Good, sir. We'll catch up with you again next Friday.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Not going to lie, Corey, that last question made me a little bit nervous.
I figured any, and that was a great answer, too. Let's move the ball ahead for the country, too.
Man,
let's see how that works.
That question was hilarious.
Yeah, he knows we're just trying to have some fun on this show.
877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation at all. Also, want to give people an opportunity for their high school shout-outs. We've talked about this before. Obviously, a very passionate high school fan base, high school sports fan base. So if you've got a game tonight, this weekend, maybe it already happened last night that you wanted to give somebody a shout out for, want to hear those high school football, etc. shout outs as well. The Trayvon Diggs thing I was just fascinated by because, you know, like calf injury, calf tear, whatever the specifics of it could be, that just made me perk up and get a little nervous when he goes, "Hey, I thought he might have a calf tear." I was like, "Oh no."
Yeah, especially with what we know about calf injuries with Kendricks and Josh Young and all that. And so that definitely did perk me up too. But we did know that he'd been out of practice multiple times this week.
I wanted to see if he was going to say like, "Yeah, this will probably be a multi-week injury," versus then he was like, "Well, I'm not saying he's going to miss the Atlanta game." So I appreciate that follow-up.
And I think that is a kind of a valid point. Not necessarily the tear and everything, but you ever snapped at somebody because something else was going on in your world?
Yes.
And you're just like, that has happened to be the wrong person, the wrong moment, and everything else is happening.
Definitely.
I recently had a few things going on in my world, and I had snapped a little bit, and I didn't need to. It was some stuff that we found out about Lucy. I don't know how much time we have here,
Kevin.
No, good. We have
till 2 p.m.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
If you want to know, like, that's when they kick us off. That's when
I'm sure they'd let us stick around if we wanted to. But the trial has ended for Lucy, and we went back up there for another visit. And her
clinical medical trial, in case people are behind.
Yeah, not her jury.
Just in case people are like, hold on, what?
Her clinical trial ended, and so they wanted to get some last stuff to see how things are going for, and all the spiking seizures have come back. And then stuff in the day that we never saw before is now there. And all that kind of was sitting on me too much. And I probably snapped at the boys a little too much the wrong way, and I didn't like it. And sometimes you do. You need to just take a breath from it and realize, look, man, we can have some fun doing this thing. So hopefully we'll get back at it and give Lucy the best chance. But that did hit me for a little bit, man.
I think that is very fair. As long as you circle back with those people.
Oh, my sons?
Yeah.
No, I just ignore them and say, go clean the house, you know.
I don't know if that's exactly
mow the lawn, boys,
the direction
or else.
I would go, but, you know your kids significantly better than anybody else.
They need some tough love.
So,
Kevin, tough love.
Very, very fair. From the 817, let's go to the Brock Eagles. And then from the 972, shout out to my daughter Danny doing her last senior home game as lieutenant of the Rock Hill Rockettes. Very cool right there. And I feel like we got some stuff. I'm hopeful that Trayvon Diggs plays this weekend, but when you look at the practice progression, it's possible that no Diggs, no Bland, no Parsons to an already just really, really banged up defense.
Try and slow it down.
I feel so stupid for picking the Cowboys this week. I'm only picking them based off of
the Falcons.
The Cowboys, yeah. The Cowboys somehow keeps these fans' hopes alive by winning random games like this when it's a bad year.
Yeah.
And the Falcons seem to lose games in their history when you think they're going to be good at football.
No, I think you guys both make some very fair points across the board. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. If you want to come out and see us and register for your opportunity to win a pair of Cowboys tickets, we've also got Cowboys swag giveaways during the show. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, stars, they're going up in value, and they're going to play in like an hour. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.